Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net. So before we met up, we were going to do this yesterday, but we pushed it back to today. Recording the show, of course, I'm talking about here. Topher was like, I can come and record today. However, in the morning, there's a really hot guy I'm filming some content with. And I was like, I love the casuality of it. Like, I do. I'm kind, not just kind of jealous. Like, how many of us out there would love the opportunity to do them things and just be like, oh, well, it's content. That's how it is.
But you know, this is one thing I think people don't grasp. People, because there's so much puritanical shit on social media now, yes, where people want to be trad wives and everyone's like,
so funny.
Everyone's pretending they're Christian at the minute.
Yep.
You know, this Christian nationalist crap.
Yes.
So people think that most men are scared of you if you're very sexually overt,
yeah,
especially on the internet.
Uh-huh.
But that's not always the case. There are a lot of people who are really drawn to it because they, yes, they want to live like vicariously through you, and they, yeah, see you as like a fantasy. I mean, let's be honest, the men I film with, they're not pretend. I mean, I'm married.
Yes.
And they're not potential partners. Like, that you fuck me and then fuck off, respectfully. Mm-hmm. And like, so this guy reached out to me and he's like objectively like stunning. Like,
right,
men would want him. Like, straight men would obviously appreciate him. Women would want him. Gay guys would obviously want him. This is him. You can kind of put him
on cam. Oh, my God.
Don't swipe. If you swipe, you're going to get to know me way too well.
Yeah, he's super hot.
But on top of that...
Is he straight?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he publicly identifies as straight, but he's my dildo. But not only is it that, like, he's really well endowed.
Is he? Right.
Like, it's like a fantasy kind of size. So, yeah, I was just like, hi, I can't really say no to him because...
I mean... So that's interesting, the way you said that some people are drawn to that. And I get that, because some people, like, really are, because they know that, like, there's... For a lot of men, myself included, like, the idea of being around someone where it's going to be like, oh, fucking hell, like, it's not going to be very good. They're going to be really, like, prim and proper about stuff. It's, like, yeah, really, yeah, off-putting, but there are plenty of people out there who are really kind of prim and proper and kind of, like, boring like that. So
yeah, I get loads of hate for it. Like, people being like, oh, you have no shame. What do your parents think? I'm like, my parents don't think about me having sex.
No.
They
know, don't they?
That would be weird.
Of course they know. Your dad knows, I mean, and mum does, don't they?
We just don't talk about stuff like
that.
That's
fair enough.
I'm an adult. I don't need to go... By the way, like, I'm getting fucked in the arse today. How are you? Should we go shopping?
You know, you wouldn't say it, would you?
No,
have they
weird.
Ever seen? Have they ever? Has anyone ever? The one thing I always think about this is, I keep on hearing about people who are content creators where some fucking lunatic has taken their content and sent it to their family.
Yeah, I told. I mean,
that has happened to you.
I've helped a couple guys who they. So the men I film with are publicly identified as straight.
Yes,
you know, my brand is kind of that niche. It's like me and straight men.
So and you like hide their identity.
I jump through loops to hide their identity.
Yeah.
And I do tricks that even people filming it won't realise. Like, I'll cover tattoos with makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I'll, like, blur. I'm quite smart at manipulating. I'll even manipulate, mm-hmm, their skin tone sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one guy I filmed with, and a few guys I filmed with have been clocked because of people on this. Like, they've just been too... They've shared it.
Right.
And obviously, like...
Who shared it? The people who...
Some of the guys, when they're horny, they share the content. So there was one guy,
right,
he shared a video on Twitter, but he'd cropped my face out and I was wearing lingerie and you couldn't see like my dick. So it could have been a woman.
Yes.
If you look a certain way. And someone had clocked, it's me.
Right.
So even though he's cropped my head out,
yeah,
it's obviously me. They've sent it to his mum.
Oh God. And she has no idea.
No, and I had to intervene with that person. But I do this thing with guys in general that loads of guys reach out to me when they're being outed. Or if they're going to be out, someone's threatening them, and I always intervene. And I've got a really good success rate.
What do you mean you've got a really good success rate?
I'm just getting putting a stop to it. Yeah.
What's the go-to? Let me guess. fucking yeah. Do that now.
I'm like, just try it. And I always say, listen, these are the legal implications of what you're doing. This is malicious communication. This is revenge porn.
Yes.
On top of it, I will address you publicly.
Yeah.
You know, whether I write about you, you know, or I'll literally do a video about you. Uh-huh. I don't know. If you're outing somebody,
then I'll out you back. Yeah, yeah. It is revenge porn, though, isn't it? Like, tell me the boundaries there with revenge porn, because,
it's pretty obvious. It's just like if you're maliciously sharing adult content
without permission,
yeah. And if you can't prove it,
even if it's their OnlyFans. So that's the interesting thing. Is the argument not?
Yeah, if it's being shared maliciously,
if it's done maliciously without them wanting to do it, then that is then breaking the law. So you do have the right to make that content, and then you also have the right to determine.
Yeah, I mean,
how it's shared.
There's a difference between launching an OnlyFans profile and then perhaps having a platform to promote it, whether that be Twitter or Reddit and all these various other ones, even if it's Pornhub. But if somebody is taking that content
from your OnlyFans
and sending it to somebody or using it as bait
without your permission by paying, kind of thing,
mm-hmm, then it's malicious communications.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, it's intent to harm, whether it be psychological, cause family. Anyway, in that one case, it got sent to a guy, but in the time since, I've got really good at stopping it before it happens.
Right.
So there was one guy who I hadn't filmed with, but he knew of me. He knew. So I tweet about it when it happens just to let people know that I do this. So I'd been tweeting about it, and then this guy DM'd me, and he was like, listen, you don't owe me anything, you don't know me. I've been talking back and forth with this cross-dresser on a platform called Fab Swingers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, how can I help? And he's like, well, the conversation went left, and they were asking me to do scat, and I'm not into scat. So I said no. They really took offense to it, thinking I was shading them. And now they're threatening to out me. They've saved my pictures. They found my Facebook.
They wanted you to... So you had someone who wanted to do scat...
So basically, this cross-dresser, not a trans person, not number, like this is a person who is just a cross-dresser, it's just a fetish. They had basically asked this guy to shit in their mouth.
Right.
And he'd been like, that sounds like the worst thing in the world for me, I don't want to do that, which is preference, you're entitled to a preference. Anyway, they'd started to threaten them, and he'd taken screenshots, he'd found, and the cross-dresser had found his TikTok, his mm-hmm. Facebook, his Instagram, and was threatening him. So I was like, cool, send this template. So I wrote a message from me to this person. And I found the cross-dresser's Twitter and they followed me. So I was like, this is perfect. So I'm like,
they will see it.
Yeah, I'm like, tell them my porn name, you know, Straight Boy Tay, and say it's Topher Taylor. Like, just to let you know, I'm aware of what you're doing. This person is a friend of mine. If this continues, I'm going to assist him in every way possible. I'll even give him my lawyer because I've got a porn lawyer. So I'm like, so if you want to take that risk and potentially destroy your life for the sake of a man not wanting to shit in your mouth, goodbye.
Just because you were fuming.
Feel free, but know that I'll be helping him every step of the way. And then he immediately had a reply saying, okay, it's been deleted, thanks.
Right.
I've got screenshots of that, I'll show you. It's funny.
God.
Why put this guy through it?
Yeah, there's a lot of it, though. There's a lot of it, though, isn't there? I feel like there's an absolute tsunami of this shit, you know?
But this is the thing that frustrates me a lot about people who, if you have the fantasy of being with a straight guy, or if you refer to them as DL, discreet, however it's referred to, you know, it's different. I know some people don't like white people using DL, but that has been so injected into my language since I was 15, it will never leave. The thing is, it comes with responsibility, because you are taking someone's most intimate, personal, like private, you know, curiosity. Where they can't be queer for whatever reason, or maybe they just don't want to be out, which is their.
It's up to them, yeah.
But if you are then going to shag them or tempting them, just to then hold it over their head, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
It comes with responsibility. Like the guys that I film with, for example, I jump through loops. On like they don't want me to do it. There are loads of guys that go like, Topher, I trust you. I'm like, yeah, but I want you to see physical proof that I wouldn't out you. Like, I'll sign an NDA for you. Anything you want, like, tell me, like, anything I can do to reassure you. I've had guys who've got scars on their body and stuff, and they're like, oh, I don't need to hide it, it's fine. I'm like, no, I'm gonna hide it
so that you don't then because they don't get nervous further down the line.
Yeah, because they feel good today, they don't know in 5 years time they're like, oh shit, I did that video. So they're gonna know that I've on the extra mile.
Yeah,
but what I don't like is when people take advantage of that and like manipulate people sexually and then use it against them.
So I became aware of, there's a few people that I've known over the years that I've only, the sort of background I'd come from all them years ago. That the number of people that just in messing about and just everyone's got dick pics, everyone's got nudes, like everyone's got stuff of them.
Get the camera out and doggy, and you know
that's normal. That's not so. I remember there was
someone will come back to that. Go, actually, I don't have one.
Yeah,
well, good for
but,
you.
Well done if you don't. But sure, like a lot of people do, and like you know, over the years, there's been a couple of things where I've been with people, and then then we're not as close, and then it's almost like they've got, it wouldn't be a thing I would do nowadays, but they've got something on you. And before these revenge porn laws came out, you were almost like beholden to someone, because some people will insinuate that they're gonna imagine or joke about it, and the joking and the whatever is all part of controlling you so that you will continue to do what they want to do. And I've cleared the decks with several people that I spoke to for years. There was someone I used to play with sometimes years ago, and he had turned out he had a house fucking full of cameras, and was all kinds, you know, people were popping around, and it was them showing you like, oh, so and so came around and this, and then this guy came around, and he's straight and he's married with a, and he showed me this shit, and are these people aware that you've got your house cameras on them? And I just remember thinking, you're a fucking court case waiting to happen. And just put distance between yourself and them people. And how many people in just going around for a grinder shag are stepping into these situations where you've got someone who's building up a bank of stuff that could just be used to like manipulate you or bribe you or something?
I had one guy who I used to sleep with years ago when I was younger, and I lived in Streatham, and I used to have this like, do you know those like IKEA Kallax square shelves? So it's like the white with just this, like squares, and you just fill the shelf with whatever. And he looked at it a bit alarmed, and I'm like, what? And he goes, oh, I met someone once, and I looked up, and there was a camera.
But there's so many people that are like that.
I'm not fucking feeling like, and I actually said to him, rip my room apart, because if you're going to be uncomfortable, I'm going to be uncomfortable now, so I need you to trust me. He's like, no, I do. I'm like, no, please check my room, because I don't want anything in the back of your head, because it's going to throw me off. Because I pick up on bad vibes really too easily. I'm way too sensitive.
If anyone's slightly unsettled, especially if you're having sex, it can really throw you, can't it?
I'm way too in tune with it. It's kind of a bad thing. So if somebody's off a little bit, it must drive my exes and whoever mad, because I'm like, something's not right.
Something's not right there, yeah.
And they're like, shut up, like, just let me fuck you. And I'm like, not until I figure out what's wrong.
Yeah, sit down. We're chatting things.
Yeah.
So I think that there is, in the queer community, there's an absolute avalanche of that stuff, I think. And, being able to trust people and having the bits of your life private that you want private is a fundamental, like, that is abusive to kind of even insinuate to someone.
And they think it's okay, because if someone like me, for example, because if you work in an adult industry, that, oh, you're like fair game, your stuff's out there already. I'm like, yeah. But doesn't mean you can just distribute it. I get guys like saving my stuff and sending it to me going, I really like this picture. I'm like, why are you saving my nude and sending it back to me? Like, I know what I look like. I
don't like that. Yeah. There's someone I knew that used to ask lots of people for nudes. Let me add a bit of information to make this make more sense here. Just collects people's nudes, and and then we'll go to you sometimes. Oh, you know, you're gonna send me another one. And you're like, what the fuck?
I'm not interested in collecting anyone's nudes.
No, I'm not. If you want to
see a dick, like, come over. You know, let's make a plan. I'm not interested in cyber sex. I don't want anything digital. I don't want to talk to you on Snapchat. I don't want to fucking WhatsApp with you. Men annoy me. You know, come and serve your purpose.
And then fuck off.
I just don't want to.
Doesn't like you, you're not welcome.
I do actually think that's quite good. My cat's quite good. He's quite a good sense of, if he avoids someone, I'm like,
Is he a good judge of character?
Or they're just too loud.
Cats often are a good judge of character. Yeah. Kyle, some people might know you from, well, you were on TV in a show ages ago, and you've become quite a well-known face, didn't you, really?
Different lifetime ago, yeah, I did. About 7 years ago, I think I did that.
Because I knew you from that kind of era when you were, there was an article in Pink News I was looking at from a good few years ago. What was it, The By Life, was that what it was called?
It was hosted by Courtney Act.
in that you were, I remember you were talking specifically about kind of like being a bisexual guy, and that was kind of how a lot of people know you. But since then, you are working in the mental health space at the moment, and you've done a study into sexual violence in the LGBTQ plus community, haven't you? And people's experiences of that. And what kind of stuff have you found out?
So I'm still in the process of, I'm writing it up currently. It's really interesting. I think someone who's experienced sexual assault themselves, like myself, it's one of those taboo subjects. Kind of led on to when I started the doctorate around, a lot of research has been done around sexual assault, but within the LGBTQ plus community, the evidence base, it lacks in experiences of sexual assault. And we know that for the community, it's heavily targeted towards us. What we don't know is reasons why we don't go forward to tell or what survivors need to tell. And I think that's one of the key elements to understanding why disclosure for our community is so low.
We know that like rates of sexual violence are a lot higher amongst LGBTQ plus people compared with, well, with everybody else, really. Apparently, 40% of gay men and nearly half of bisexual men have reported sexual violence in their lifetimes. Why, like in quite simple terms, why is that?
So sexual violence, it's about power control and gender norms. A lot of it's people who adhere more to this idea of hegemonic masculinity, so more stoic in control, kind of correct or police, less masculine or gender conforming roles. The actual statistics, it's this staggering. I think it's between 2 and 6 gay and bisexual men are between 2 and 6 times more likely to experience sexual assault. But even with the statistics we just spoken about, it's almost the tip of the iceberg.
What patterns are there in terms of like gender identity, sexual orientation, and other kind of intersecting identities? What patterns tend to emerge when it comes to who is most vulnerable to sexual assault?
So it's hard to kind of reduce it down to kind of one simple answer. If you look at intersectionalities, to look at race and gender, disability, increase someone's vulnerability. But we know widespread across the community through research that those who identify within the LGBTQ plus community are more likely to experience acts of sexual assault. And again, the research base, it's very sparse in terms of what we actually know. But what we do know from the data is that across the board, those in the community are more likely to experience acts of sexual assault against them, and also less likely to go to report because the barriers to reporting are quite complex. And that's kind of what my research looks into is, what do survivors need to go to tell? And what we're finding, what I'm finding is that there's a lot of the time is there's no kind of pathway as to where to go or what to do when sexual assault happens. And if they do go to tell, there's the kind of worries around, are they going to be, is their identity going to be put under a microscope in terms of a gay man, for instance, to be like, well, men can't be sexually assaulted as like rapists in society kind of dominate. So it's, well, how can you say no to sex, or kind of why is a man sexually assaulted? Like that doesn't happen to men, or it's between a man or a woman, just various reasons like that.
From a psychological standpoint, what's the long-term impact of sexual assault for LGBTQ plus people, especially given like the added layers of like stigma, identity, limited support? What kind of impacts are you seeing downstream? Because sexual assault is kind of unique, isn't it? It's out of all the forms of assault, I guess it's the one where the impacts kind of grow over time. The impacts are felt way into the future.
Yeah, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. It almost like ripples through generation. It impacts everything from kind of the way they sort of interact with others. For instance, like in gay spaces, there's sexual assault is typically perpetrated by someone known to the survivor. So whether this is still kind of in the same spheres as those, it kind of stops them from engaging in those social activities, impact kind of work, mental health across the spectrum, depression, anxiety, PTSD, all those rates are higher, suicide ideations. And it really is a cumulative effect that impacts every area of someone's life. I think that's why this research is kind of so important, or research in this area. It's about catching that disclosure early once it happens, or as early as possible, so that interventions or tailored support or suspicious referrals can be made to almost reduce the impact that sexual assault can have on someone's life. It can be absolutely catastrophic, and impacting, like I said, all areas of life.
We've seen that sexual assault survivors face trauma-related difficulties like PTSD, depression, substance use, suicidal thoughts, and I guess after that, difficulties with trust or intimacy. Like, how do these things manifest differently or more intensely in queer people?
I think what's really interesting is that with sexual assault, like I said, it can happen with someone known to the perpetrator, to the victim. And if they're kind of in the same spaces, it can be so isolating for them. There's almost that idea that they were to blame. They kind of put themselves in that situation, or, you know, like within substance use or kind of queer spaces, if someone's sexually assaulted on a night out, if there were substances involved, there's almost that self-blame that happens that is kind of put on them by society anyway. And it can be so sort of isolating that the shame and guilt can really kick in, which can stop them from going to get support anyway, let alone even talk about it to their friends. And the kind of silencing.
What sort of support in terms of like therapy, community support, safe spaces, do you think works best for people who are survivors of sexual assault? It's a broad spectrum, isn't it? It's not just a singular thing. Is that sexual assault is a very broad kind of thing, and a traditional mental health service is enough
for the queer community in general. I think there needs to be special services that kind of understands the nuances that happen within the community. And what's coming in my research is that to go to a mental health professional or a sexual health clinic, for instance, explain, like one of the participants was sexually assaulted, happened within a party environment, and to go forward back to a mental health professional who may not understand the kind of context in which this is happening, can almost silence them from telling, because there's that layered stigma and shame that comes with it of having to explain kind of what happened, why they were there. And that in itself is silencing, and the survivor can feel that self-blame happening, and it's for the health professional to kind of take the blame away from them and blame the victim. So I think these four kind of specialist services, and I know that Gallup do a wonderful job, the Survivors UK, who are specialised in men, both cisgendered and transgender men, non-binary individuals. But I think, yeah, it's getting that tailored support to specialised services that can really deal with and understand the kind of complex and layered nature of sexual assault to the community.
So I think what was interesting there is that a party situation, like the party scene, throws up loads of, especially in what the traditional gay nightlife scene, it throws up like loads of situations where, like, where is the line? Like, you know, I've been to a club where you don't wear clothes. So where does the line lie in an environment where it's kind of really overtly sexualized? Like, I personally feel like I know what sexual assault looks like. But do I? Like, if someone touches you in an environment like that and you're like, no, thanks, and then they're being more insistent afterwards, at what point is that sexual assault? And well, another point is that just someone who's I don't know, just annoyed you in the moment? Because there is such a fine line in them situations.
Yeah, and I think that through the tour of the, it's like, where is the line in these sort of hyper-sexualized environments almost? But it does come down to, is it any sexual experience that kind of you haven't given freely informed consent to happen in? And I think what's important is that there's a full spectrum of sexual assault that encompasses non-physical all the way to kind of physical acts. And I know that a lot of emphasis is kind of put on the more severe, what society deems more severe acts of sexual assault, such as kind of rape or penetration. But for any two individuals, someone who is, say, raped, for instance, they can have the same effect as someone kind of who was, say, groped in a club. That can still have the same impact on the individual. And I think it's not for anyone other than the individual to express kind of how that made them feel in the moment, and then to go and get help and support in the necessary ways. But I think there's almost within the kind of queer communities we're finding, or was in my research, is that there's almost this bar in terms of it's so normalized in clubs, in kind of the spheres itself, that it's almost like, at what point does it tip over for it to become severe enough for that person to feel that they can go to tell, let alone how it made them feel? Is how to, in what point do they think society be like, okay, that's enough, that's severe enough for you to go and seek help? But you know, we need to be normalizing seeking help in all these capacities, depending how that survivor feels about the act that was kind of put onto them without their consent.
So if you could implement like one major change, like you could do it tomorrow in mental health services, public perception or policy that would drastically improve the outcomes for survivors of sexual assault, what do you think it would be?
For our community, there needs to be further training and understanding from healthcare professionals as to, one, eradicate rapeness, because rapeness dominates society. It's like the idea sexual assault is between a man and a woman, which kind of erases or silences any other survivors who've been sexually assaulted outside of that man and woman kind of dynamic, or other things like the idea of a perfect victim that happens sort of down a dark alley by a stranger, you're kicking and screaming to get off me. It doesn't happen like that. It happens normally by someone known to the survivor. Even like labeling it, some people might not label what's happened to them as sexual assault, which stops them from kind of telling. I think just this training or this kind of training about LGBTQ+ and acts of sexual assault needs to happen to kind of normalize and allow disclosures to go forward. I think that's part of it. I don't think it is one answer again. I think it's a very complex and kind of multi-layered, but I think that is one of the key things that does need to happen.
Kyle, I appreciate you having a chat with us today about this work, and it's it's really worthwhile. I'm glad to see that someone is picking this up and doing something about it. So thanks very much for joining us.
No, thank you very much.
Stay with me, this is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net, top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.